You heard Logan say during the children's time there that I had wanted to bring a transformer with me to church today for the children's time. And many of you may be familiar with that line of toys, the Transformers, or perhaps the movie franchise that's based on the toys. These are toy robots which can transform into cars and other vehicles and maybe even dinosaurs and all sorts of things. And as they drive around in car form, they are very much like any other ordinary car. However, when they transform into robots, they are much more powerful. Or perhaps you are a fan of Harry Potter and are fascinated by one of the classes that the kids attended called Transfiguration class, where the little witches and wizards would take an ordinary item and turn it into something else. Or perhaps you prefer some of the classics, where a prince or a princess is in search of their true love, and all they need to do is kiss a toad and witness it transform into their true love. This is how most people approach the idea of transfiguration, as a change of state from one thing into another. And often, that new state of being is seen as being more powerful than the old. Now, the Greek word that's used here in Matthew is where we get our English word metamorphosis, which makes us think of caterpillars turning into butterflies. However, none of these ideas adequately expresses what happens in our passage in Matthew. Jesus did not change from one type of being into a completely different type of being. We acknowledge that Jesus has two natures, being fully divine and fully human. And what we do not want to do with our passage this morning is to think that this is the only time that we experience the divine nature of Jesus. Now, Transfiguration Sunday always comes at the beginning of Lent. It is always the Sunday before the first Sunday of Lent. And Lent is a season when the divine glory of the Father and the Son are on full display, even when that display is what appears to be a very human Jesus hoisted up on a cross like a scarecrow. Jesus is always divine. And before they climb up on that mountain, Jesus is divine. And during that moment of dazzling light, and afterwards as he descends with those three disciples, Jesus is fully divine. He is just as divine before and after he was transfigured. Of course, what adds to the strangeness of this event is the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." An awe-inducing and terrifying experience. The disciples don't know what to make of it. For his part, Peter wants to remain on the mountaintop. And he says, "It is good for us to be here. Let me make some tents or some dwelling places for us. I'll make three, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But those tents, those dwelling places, those are just a metaphor for staying the same, for allowing the status quo to remain in effect, not moving forward in life. Now, to be sure, Peter needs the memory of that moment on the mountaintop to last, the glory, the confirmation, the promise, the assurance, because later on, he's going to need all of those things. The transfiguration represents a transformation, a change, And it is almost impossible to change, to let go of one thing without also holding on to that same thing. When we change, we are holding on to what was, and we are looking forward to the hope of what can be. But we can't make active change if we don't recognize where we are and where we want to go. So the Transfiguration is a moment of change. Not for Jesus. Jesus is transfigured and made to be dazzling. But for us who witness it, for us who read about it, who think on it, it is a moment of change. When you know change has to happen, but perhaps you aren't quite ready yet. When you have 100 million reasons to walk away, but you just need one good one to stay. It is that moment when you need to hold on, desperately, and yet you know you need to leave. That moment when you need to leave, and yet you find yourself holding on. That's Transfiguration, the moment in between. It's not the glory. It's not the high we feel being on the mountaintop. Nor is it the euphoria we feel when we come down the other side. It is the space in between when we are forced to reckon with the change which we know is necessary in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus is transfigured, but Jesus doesn't change. We simply see the full manifestation of his divine self. But for the disciples, the moment of transfiguration is something entirely different. How do they move forward knowing what they've seen? It would be much easier to go back down the other side of the mountain, the way they came up, to forget what happened, than it would be to embrace the implications of what they have seen and what they know that means. In our passage, we have Jesus displaying his divinity for us to witness. What we see in the Transfiguration is similar, yet perhaps different, from a scene in the movie The Lord of the Rings, the first film. There is a Transfiguration scene in that movie that Peter Jackson brought us. In this scene, the elf queen Galadriel, she's offered the One Ring of Power by the hobbit Frodo Baggins. And this is tempting for even as strong a being as Galadriel, because in her hands, she could wield the ring to great power and effect. But like the wizard Gandalf, who likewise refuses to touch or take the ring, she knows she would be utterly corrupted by the ring's evil. Thus, in the end, she will not touch or take the ring from Frodo. She cannot. But in the scene, she briefly toys with the idea and so transfigures into a towering figure with a voice like the sound of rushing water. And she shines with a bright incandescent light of terrifying power before finally shrinking back down to an ordinary size. Now, the difference between this scene and Christ on the mountaintop is that Jesus did not transfigure into something he was not, much less into something potentially awful, but rather reveals that he already is the true Messiah, the true Son of God. It's a kind of reverse Galadriel transfiguration in another sense. Galadriel transfigured at the prospect of taking on huge powers. Jesus transfigured into his true glory, which was ordinarily hidden from the disciples and everyone else. On account of Jesus having given up his true divine powers in order to be born and also be truly human. And it was in giving up those divine powers and prerequisites that spells the salvation for us and for the universe. The transfiguration is for Jesus. He needed those moments to talk to Moses and Elijah. However, the transfiguration is also for us. To recognize that in the tension of a moment, in the midst of decision, we must understand who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. And it is more than just a singular moment. It is the time of change, of the pushing and the pulling, of dealing with the forces and the influences that we find in our world. Recognizing the goodness in what is and in what will come. It is also the assurance that comes in knowing that as we move forward from moment to moment, we do so with Jesus Christ. Amen.